Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well and glad to be here. Those of you who have joined us here in our auditorium at this location, we have a lot of our college students back. It is really good to see you all, as well as some who are guests today who've come from out of town. And for those of you who are joining us online, thank you for taking the time to join us. Encourage you to come and be with us in person at the first opportunity that you have. I have some good news to share this morning. I think some of you, if you read your email on Friday, you found out that Aiden and Riley Yoda were baptized into Christ right up there just a couple of days ago. They gave their lives to the Lord, baptized into Jesus. They are sitting right over there. Raise your hand. Okay, I don't see. Oh, Riley's way in the back. All right. Hey, Riley. We are happy for y'all. So they have, like many of us here already this morning, began that journey in Jesus and want to live a life that shines. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. One of my favorite children's songs, in fact, I remember going to a VBS with a friend of mine who was a Baptist when I was just a little kid, and I went to his church, and I remember the song, I Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart, right? It's been around for years. I don't know when it started, and I love the part, you know, you say, when the if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on a tack, you know, and you jump up. But this one has to be one of the best all-time songs, whether you're a kid or not. This little light of mine. So we hope and pray that Aiden and Riley, as well as the rest of us in here, will remember what it means to let our light shine. Y'all want to sing this morning? Y'all want to sing that song? All right, let's do it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine, won't let Satan it out, I'm going to let it shine all the time, let it shine, oh yeah. Well, we will just do two verses of that. I had somebody tell me one time when I tried to do some song leading, and I think it was a song leader that told me that, said, well, listen, we'll leave the preaching to you. You leave the song leading to us. But I think in some ways, maybe I'm, you know, in some ways a song leader at heart. I know I don't do it well, but that is a great little song. It's about letting our light shine. It's about letting the light of the world, Jesus himself, shine on us and through us and for us. We see in the book of John, when Jesus was at the Feast of Dedication, or the Festival of Lights, called by some, that was to commemorate the completion of the temple during the time of the Maccabees, a time of great joy and happiness. Jesus stands up in that temple area in the lighting of those lamps that meant so, so much. And Jesus had the audacity to stand in that place before those people and before those religious leaders and to make the claim, I am the light of the world. I'm trying to think, you know, there's really nothing we can compare to that in terms of what maybe people are claiming about themselves. I thought of Muhammad Ali when he used to say, I am the greatest. And he probably was the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time. But when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, I mean, it's like that times a million. Because light is all about life and sustainability and direction and purpose. We can't live without light. You think about that. We take light for granted. So the very God who created this world and this universe, this vast expanse, at one point said, let there be light. and there was light. And so without light, you look outside, you see the trees, the grass, the growth. No growth, no life without life. You think about the process of photosynthesis. It's amazing. All the things around us going on that we just take for granted. The light from the sun, the heat, the chemical process that produces energy for the plant to grow. And the plant takes in the carbon dioxide and produces oxygen that gives life to other things. There is such an important component to this whole idea of what it means to be light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light and life. Light makes such a difference. How do you feel when the power goes out and it's a dark night? That initial feeling, that first half second, everything's bright, the TV's on, and then boom, it's like, it goes to dark. You're shocked a little bit. Nobody likes it. It's an uncomfortable feeling. And I know many of us, I know I am one of them, I'm affected by the lack of light in the winter. I know how my mood can change just a little bit when it's a sunny day and the clouds come and it gets a little darker, and then maybe a thunderstorm is coming and then it gets just a little darker. And it's just maybe a little bit of an oppressive feeling. Light is so important, so important. And even if you go to the depths of the ocean, 1,500 feet or more below sea level, you see creatures like this. Isn't he pretty? That's an anglerfish. 90% of life underneath 1,500 feet in this world is they are bioluminescent. They can create their own light like a firefly. And so this anglerfish, so far underneath the ocean, and God in his wisdom and creation and the importance of light puts a little lamppost on his head that he could create a light that far, that deep. And one of the things that a little light does is it mesmerizes other little fishies down there and other little creatures, and they're amazed by the light. And then that helps sustain them. Now, I don't know. There's no theological point to that. That's just a little fact. That's just a little fact. Deep down in the ocean, and then up here. The lights around us, the sun, the moon, the stars, God said, let there be light. I tell you what, I have spent, I can't tell you how many hours this week, and there were times when as I was preparing this lesson, and I would read an article, and then there would be a link to another article about the universe. I've just been reawakened this week to the amazement of what all of this is and how we relate to all of this in terms of what Paul is trying to teach us in the book of Philippians. Now, you say, what does that have to do with a basketball? I was just trying to get a grasp on the vastness of this universe and our solar system and the sun and the earth and the present solar system we're in and the Milky Way galaxy. And just to give you an illustration, if this basketball was the sun, and by the way, it doesn't have any air in it, so I can't do any of this morning. But if this was the sun, maybe a couple of inches wider, scale down, if this was the sun on scale, the earth would be like a small sesame seed, all right? And you could fit about 1,000,000 earths in the volume of the sun. If it was a hollow shell, you could put about 1,000,000 earths inside the sun. And so the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth, which is a distance that's hard for me to imagine. I tell you how far it is. It is, if you were able to drive a car to the sun, and in driving that car to the sun nonstop, at 100 miles an hour, not stopping for a bathroom break or going to McDonald's on Venus or Mercury. I mean, just going straight there nonstop at 100 miles an hour, it would take you 107 years. That's how far 93 million miles are. But I have a hard time getting my mind around that. But you have this big basketball, and you have a sesame seed about from one end of this auditorium to the other, if we're doing it in scale. And then if you have the moon, it's like a tiny little speck of sand, like two inches from the sesame seed. Tiny, the tiniest little speck of sand you can imagine. So that's the Earth and the moon, and then you have the sun 93 million miles away. And that begins to give you a little bit of an idea as to the vastness of just our solar system. The sun is 109 times wider than the Earth, but its mass is 330,000 times the mass of the Earth. 99.8%, or somewhere around there, of the mass of our solar system is in the sun. 99.8 in the sun, a bright, bright star. But even then, you begin to think even deeper into what that means in relationship to the rest of the stars and the universe and the Milky Way itself. The sun is just one star among, I made sure I get this right, maybe 200 billion stars just in the Milky Way galaxy. And scientists are saying now, astronomers are saying they've miscalculated the number of even galaxies in the universe, that perhaps there might be 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. And just in our solar system, which is a part of the Milky Way galaxy, you look in the Milky Way galaxy, it takes 120,000 light years to get from one end of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. That's what the speed of light would travel in 120,000 years, that distance. That's just one solar system. I mean, it takes the light from the sun to reach us about 8 seconds. And so you just do the multiplication. It is absolutely mind-blowing. And now they're saying that there may be, that they've underestimated the number of stars in the galaxy. Some are saying that there may be 1 septillion stars in the universe. And I'll just tell you, that's a lot, all right? How many is that? That's a lot. That's 10 to the 24th power. And our sun is relatively an average-sized star. It absolutely blows your mind. So what we're going to be doing the next several weeks is we're going to be talking about experience a life that shines. And we're calling it star power. And I just shared these statistics and a little bit of this science with you just to see. And I'm not saying Paul knew or understood this stuff. If God wanted to reveal it to him, he could have. But God, I'm sure, didn't. Just what that means. And the key verse that we'll be looking at in this series is taken from the second chapter. And it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. And then you will shine among them like stars." I like the older translation of this, "like stars in the universe, as you hold firmly to the word of life." You are a shining star. God willing, July 9th, we're going to be going to a concert with Cedric and Charlene, going to the Earth, Wind, and Fire concert and Santana concert. I'm just sharing that with you just to brag a little bit. I never go to concerts, but that one came up, and I thought we've got to go to that. I knew that Cedric really loved Earth, Wind, and Fire. But they have a song. I know some of you are singing this in your mind right now. And I'm not going to sing it. although I want to really bad. You're a shining star. No matter who you are, shining bright to see what you could truly be. What you could truly be. There are so many songs out there about light and about the sun. It's amazing. I just did a search in a search engine and I plugged in the word light, and there are literally thousands of songs about light. You know, you're a sky full of stars, Coldplay. How about going back a few years, Debbie Boone saying, "You light up my life." And then one song that's on my playlist is Blinding Light by The Weeknd. Blinded by the light. And I want to sing that one so bad, but I'm not going to. I tell you, I'm a frustrated singer. I want to sing, but I know I can't do it that good. But it's amazing how many songs there are about light. Literally thousands. And so that leads me to this question, is we want to talk about how we're going to apply what we're going to be studying over the next several weeks. And that's this question: how brightly are you shining? How much light are you shedding right now in your life, in every circumstance, every encounter? One of the things I've asked you to do, if you look at the last page of the bulletin, is just take a little inventory this week. Take a day this week that you actually keep track of every person, every encounter, every connection that you have during the day. And there will be people that are casual acquaintances. There will be the person at the grocery store line. There will be your family members. There will be people at work. Keep track of all of those encounters in one day, and maybe with a journal. Think about what kind of impact or what kind of influence did you, what kind of star power did you exert in your life? Are you shining brightly? Are you letting your light shine for others to see? Because they need your light. Other people need your light. I think I've told you this story before, but when I was, it was the summer after my senior year in high school, and me and David Blue and Eddie Smith, we got in my family truckster wagon. I've shown that to you before in a series a couple of months ago. And we got into my family truckster, and we went to Gatlinburg, and we hiked on the Appalachian Trail. And I'd never done it before. David had done it before with his dad, and Eddie had never done that before. So we were pretty much novices at this, but we felt like we knew enough that we were going to be able to handle it well. And I was the keeper of the light. I had the big honking flashlight. And I don't know how it happened, but I put it in my backpack in the hotel room the night before we left to go out. I did not know that I had turned it on and left it on. And so we're out hiking on the AT. Maybe saw two people the whole time we were out. We're going to be out a couple of days. And it started getting dark, and my friend David started getting concerned that we had taken a wrong turn. So we're out in the middle of nowhere. But I have my handy flashlight, right? I'm going to save the day, right? So I remember reaching into my backpack, and that sucker was heavy, pulled it out, and inadvertently had found out that I had turned it on and left it on. And basically, we had no light except for a tiny little, the kind of light you put on your keychain that doesn't provide that much light. And we thought we had taken a wrong turn, and we really don't know where we're going, and it's dark. And I tell you what, folks, I've been scared several times in my life, but that's about the scaredest I've been. And so David had that little flashlight, and I guess since I'm the one that messed up and didn't provide the light, I had to get at the back of the line. And the three of us walking along there. And I just remember how much I just wanted light. I wanted to see. Because I was afraid of what was around me. I want to provide light for others. I want them to be able to see. And so as we go into this study, there are going to be a couple of areas that we're going to look at. I want to mention just three of them now, not going to them in depth. These will be some of the things we'll be talking about over the next several weeks. This is the first one. In terms of your light meter or your brightness, your lumens, what you're sharing with others and what you're sharing with the world, ask yourself this question: in terms of my brightness, the light that I'm shining on others. Do I have more joy in my life, or is there more gloom in my life? And so Paul says in the text that we read this morning, do everything without complaining or arguing. And then when he talks about his sacrifice for them, he says, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. In other words, the sacrifices, the difficulties that I face are for your sake. And even though they're difficult, I want you to be able to rejoice in the result of my work and my ministry. And then the one that we're probably most familiar with is found in Philippians 4:4, when Paul says there, rejoice in the Lord always. And if that's not enough, he says, again, I say, rejoice. 11 times in the little letter to the Philippians that Paul wrote, probably 12 years after he was there. And he writes the letter with a purpose. He writes to tell them thank you for supporting him in his ministry. He writes them to address the fact that they are facing persecution and difficulties in their life, and he is trying to encourage them. And he's also dealing with a situation where there's a pretty serious conflict that involves two ladies, and we'll talk about that in the future. And it doesn't just involve the ladies, but it involves the entire church as well. And so as Paul is giving them instructions as to some key things to remember about living the kind of light and shining like a star, one of those keys is being joyful. I'll just say this here before I move on. Joy is not just being happy, and it's not based on every circumstance in my life being just right. It's a peace of mind. It's a sense of contentment. It's a belief that, you know, God has my back. Every need that I have, whatever that need is, God is going to meet that need. And I don't have to be ruled by my circumstances, because a lot of us will associate being joyful with being in a joyful circumstance, right? If everything's good, if I'm happy, the job's going well, I'm not facing any issues, oh, I can be joyful. But Paul says, be joyful in every circumstance. But we have to fight that. We really do. Just last week, we were out of town, we came back, we had some work done at our home. And, you know, I'm estimating in my head how much this work is going to cost. Our back windows were replaced in our house. Guy did a great job. But I told him just to leave the bill on the kitchen island. And it was about $1,000 more than I thought it was going to be. No big deal, right? Just $1,000. Easy come, easy go. It put me in the rottenest mood, I will tell you. And there were two or three other things that were just kind of irritants. And I just became a downright grump for about 2 or 3 hours. It's like, I'm going to be grumpy. I'm not happy about this. And so if someone were, you know, having an encounter with me during that time period, my brightness meter or my star power would have been very low. I would not have been exuding very much joy. But in Jesus, things can be different. So am I joyful or gloomy? And another question we'll be looking at more, and we'll be looking at this one in more detail next week. Am I selfish or sacrificial? And that's a big theme in Philippians. It's like, where do you place yourself in relationship to others? Are you going to live like a little child or a little baby that always wants to get your way and not happy and whining and crying and are you going to be like Jesus, who sacrificed himself in the ultimate way? He says in Philippians 2, like I said, we'll talk more about this next week, just giving you a preview, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So we will be exploring that question. How brightly are you shining? Well, are you joyful or gloomy, or are you selfish or sacrificial? If you are more selfish than sacrificial, and it's always all about you, you are not shedding much light. And then the third one, are you confident or defeated? Now, this is a verse that I looked at a couple of weeks ago on Mission Sunday, but I want to read it to you again. Paul says, as he introduces the concept, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Man, that is so important. And that is a big theme in the letter to the Philippians. And that is this: you can live a life with confidence that if you are aligning yourself with the will of God and you are seeking His will and His call and attuned to that, God will bring about His purpose in you. And so even if you're facing a difficulty or a challenge, if God brings you to it, God will see you through it. And so we have a purpose. We have a reason for living. This confidence of God doing this work in us and fulfilling His purpose in us is so much more than just living life and surviving and, you know, paying the bills and making enough money and being involved in the rat race. It's so much bigger and higher and more important. It's like, look, God has called me to something powerful and transformative that not only affects me, but can affect others as well. And so, let's remember this, that light stands out in darkness. Paul says in the reading from this morning, you will become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. So much darkness in our world today. You know, I think of, you know, some of the moral challenges that we face individually, a church, as a country. You know, right is wrong and wrong is right. And there's so much confusion in so many areas related to so many things, from marriage to, you know, sexuality. And then you have to deal with the concerns about the economy and inflation and gas prices and war. There's a lot of bad news out there. How many of you have felt more of that? The crime in cities is up. The racial shooting that occurred last week in Buffalo. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. It could be downright depressing, right? Do you have a hard time with it? I do. There are times I just turn off the TV if it's on and it's bad news. There's songs out there about light and joy, but there's also songs out there about dreariness and darkness. There's plenty. So you can choose those songs. I have a song on my playlist. It's by, you're not going to believe the name of this group, but I like alternative music, and the group is called Garbage. And I'm not making that up. It's a really good song. But not the words, the music. Okay, how many of your teenagers have told the parents that? Oh, I'm not listening to the music. But it's the name of the song, I'm Only Happy When It Rains. I'm only happy when it rains. I feel good when things are going wrong. I only listen to the sad, sad songs. I'm only happy when it rains. I only smile in the dark. My only comfort is a night gone black. I didn't actually tell you that. I'm only happy when it rains. It has a really good beat, by the way. But listen, I don't recommend you to live your life according to that song. All I'm saying is that there's a contrast. There's a flip side. There's choosing light. There's choosing joy. Or there's choosing darkness and gloom. And our orientation toward those things. And living a light that shines. Where there's darkness, there's a greater opportunity for light to make a difference. And light makes its biggest impact in the greatest darkness. I don't think they do it anymore at Mammoth Cave. But back years ago, the first time we did the tour, we did Mammoth Cave. You go into the deep, dark part of Mammoth Cave. And they used to turn out the lights at some point. And I think they quit doing it because somebody freaked out and or whatever. But you go into the deep cave and they turn those lights out. And it is so dark. And just flick on a little light or just light one match. It's amazing what that little match will do in all of that darkness, what an impact it will make. So we need to remember that ourselves in our lives. And also this, remember this, you don't have to be the biggest star to make a big difference. Our sun is an average-sized star. And I did a little of this, some of the research I did. I'm not going to get off on a tangent here. But I'll just tell you, the biggest star in the universe, they believe now, and it's changed several times through the decades, but over the last couple of years, the title currently belongs to a star, and it's right here. That's it. About 20 million light years away. A long way away, called Stevenson 218. The radius of Stevenson 218 is about 2,150 times greater than the sun. 2,150. And so you remember my comparison with the sun and the earth. This sun, it is a red supergiant sun. But if it was in our solar system, there would be no life here. Our sun, a medium-sized star in just the right place, as God created the universe and the world, placed it in a place that was optimal for life. And so you don't have to be the biggest star to make a big difference. I think of, you know, my role in baptizing Aiden and Riley this week. And, of course, I've talked to them. I've, you know, been present in some ways in their life. I've been in their home one time. I know them, but I don't know them real, real well. But I think of the influence in their lives that brought them to this point. And my percentage, I don't even know how much they listen to my sermons. I assume they listen really closely and then go home and listen to them again and then take notes, all that, right? But notwithstanding that, you know, I had the privilege of baptizing them, and I'm standing before you, you know, telling you about it. So here I am, you know. But the role I played is so small. There were other people in their lives, family, friends, mom, dad, grandparents, who led them to this place. Don't underestimate what you can do and how bright you can be, and you don't have to be the biggest star. And I'm going to close right now looking at two quick verses, and then, as they say, the lesson is yours. Think about this as we move forward. And this is from the reading this morning as well. You are responsible for you. And so when Paul says, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed not only my presence, but now so much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is not some work salvation. This is not us earning our salvation. This is Paul's way to say, you need to be accountable for you. And if I'm not there, you need to choose and make the individual choice to do the right thing that'll make the biggest difference in your life and the life of others. You are responsible for you, and you are accountable. So anytime, whether this series or anytime we do a lesson, the first application I encourage you to make is with yourself. I'll move on from that. And I'll close with this. Let God work for you and in you. So in terms of working out our salvation, it's living the life of salvation and making individual choices, remembering we're accountable. It's not being saved by our works. We're saved by grace. We're 100% justified by the work of Jesus and our reliance on what he's done for us. But we cooperate with God as he works in our life and as we live out our salvation. And then he says this, for it is God who works in you, God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And so God is the initiator. God is the one who empowers. Our connection with Jesus and the things we do in cooperating with him, and we'll be talking about more of these things in the series, will let us be that star in the universe that shines brightly for others to see. That little light in you, that little light is a big, big light. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you've reached the full potential of who you can be. Well, none of us have in one sense, but I want you to think about where you are right now in your relationship to God and what are some of the things that you can do to take that step to be that star that God is calling you to. And whether that's a decision to commit your life to Jesus and be baptized or to get plugged in here at Northeast and become a part of this church, make Northeast your home church. Whatever that need is, let us know. We want to partner with you, and we want to let our light shine. Amen. You have star power, and don't forget it.